This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Good morning. Trade between India and ASEAN stands at over $70 billion. This is a level that rivals India's trade with China. Newly elected Prime Minister Narendra Modi has pledged to turn India into an export-led economy, coining together the phrase "Made in India" in his Independence Day speech of 15th August. He urged the world to invest in the country's manufacturing sector. On the Breakfast Grill today is Dato Ramesh Kodamal, co-chairman of the ASEAN-India Business Council. Formed in 2005, the council promotes free trade between ASEAN nations and India. In doing so, members can access an economic zone with a combined population size of about 1.8 billion people. Dato, so India is obviously becoming an economic powerhouse very soon to rival China. It's probably where China was a few decades ago. Why do you think, what do you think are the attractions of doing business in India versus China?
Morning, Julian. Thank you for welcoming me today to this station. I think we have got a lot to speak on this topic, especially on ASEAN and India. India, in fact, as you know, has got a population of 1.25 billion people. And ASEAN has got a population of 600 billion, a combined population of 1.8 billion. Is definitely a market to look at between ASEAN and India. We are seeing different areas of growth in India. Looking at the present situation after the election, the new Prime Minister Narendra Modi has taken the initiative to see that the policies become more friendly towards India where investments are concerned.
Okay, so Malaysians are very familiar with doing business in China, but doing business in India is something that's not very often heard of. This may sound like an obvious question, but what do you think are the attractions that India offers?
Basically speaking, doing business in India has been very challenging, and many people do speak about it that it is quite difficult to do business and penetrate in the Indian market, which is often spoken. But nevertheless, there are a lot of people from Malaysia, a lot of companies from Malaysia are moving towards India to see the opportunities which they can find. The government is taking a lot of initiatives to promote Malaysians to do business in India because they see the potentials are there. Even though with the policies which the government has presently, the new FTAs which have been signed between ASEAN and India, and also the common comprehensive agreements which have been signed between Malaysia and India, opens ways for businesses to move towards India.
What has been the problem of India? Why hasn't India developed a democracy called India compared to communist China, as China has been way ahead of India over the last decades? What seems to be a problem with India?
Yes, you can say that India has got its own problems, you can say, or challenges which you should put forward. India's population, its states, its languages which they have within the whole country, and the policies which they have implemented in India have to be improved. There's no doubt about it. To allow foreign investors to come in and to move towards a better market system. And we in Malaysia are actually an export-oriented country. We are looking for an opportunity. We would want to be in India to do that business. With the FTA signed with India in goods, we have increased our trade between India and Malaysia, or within ASEAN and India.
Now, in some surveys, for instance, the Doing Business Survey of 2014, which is compiled under the auspices of the World Bank, India ranks extremely poorly for ease of doing business, number 134 out of 189 countries. Is this a problem for expanding trade between ASEAN and India?
Could be one of the reasons. Could be one of the reasons. But we are looking at it positively from ASEAN. From ASEAN, we are looking at India as a positive market because of the population and the growing middle income population. Because we feel that in time to come, might be in another 10 to 15 years, with the open market policy which India has, and with a remark which the Prime Minister has made in his National Day speech, make in India, made in India. Make in India means come and invest in India, set up your factories in India, and export it out of India as made in India. So India is trying to move towards certain things.
Okay, you seem optimistic about it, and that's also a good thing. But how do you get around the challenges of doing businesses in India?
I think the new policies have to be set up. The trade agreement between ASEAN and India are in place. We will be signing the services and investment agreement in Nipitor on the 27th of this month, which will open up the markets further for investments and services in trade. So this is an opportunity for ASEAN to look forward and move forward after the trade agreement signed with India in 2009. Our trade impact within ASEAN and India has doubled. So I think there is an opportunity which you can look forward to.
Okay, so what are some of the points that you have surfaced in your dialogue between Malaysia and India? For instance, the survey of ease of doing business actually states that if you look further into more detail, India ranks extremely poorly in terms of starting a business and enforcing contracts. This must be a great deterrent in actually doing business in India, isn't it not?
Sure, you can say that. The challenges are there, as I did earlier. But I think with the new government, they understand the problem. The policies will be actually liberalized for companies to move into India, for investments to move into India, and vice versa. We see that the Indians too would like to come to ASEAN to set up their factories or manufacturing plants at the various free trade zones which we have, so that we can have an intra-ASEAN-India trade to a different level to serve the total population of ASEAN and India, with a population of 600 over million in ASEAN, with a population of 1.25 million billion in India. I think the integration of trade within ASEAN and India would definitely bound to different heights in the future.
Have you seen any new policy to address some of these concerns coming out of India, either coming out of India or through your dialogues with the respective governments of ASEAN and India?
India basically is looking forward to liberalize its policies. As you know, investments in India are often said are a little difficult. But with the new policies, with the new government coming into place, we are very confident that they will open up markets and there will be more investments coming into India. And also, we can see that the movement will be brisk.
How do you sell ASEAN as a bloc? I mean, there are many investments that could be made in respective countries, but each country within ASEAN is different. So as a co-chairman of the ASEAN India Business Council, what are some of the points that you make about the respective advantages of each ASEAN country?
ASEAN actually is a beautiful region, if you can look at it. 10 different countries, different languages, different religions. When you're talking of ASEAN to someone overseas, they feel, you know, the integration of ASEAN, the uniqueness of ASEAN is something which everyone looks forward to. Tourism is one area where we can promote in ASEAN. Different ASEAN countries have got their different uniqueness. This is one sector we can look at and say that ASEAN is something different from others. Whenever someone talks of ASEAN, you have different religions, different cultures, different environments. Now, from the business perspective of it, ASEAN has got various countries in ASEAN have got their strength in different areas.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Dato' Ramesh Kodamal. He's the co-chairman of the ASEAN India Business Council, which was formed in 2005 to promote free trade between ASEAN nations and India. Up next, we will talk in more detail about the India-ASEAN Free Trade Agreement. Dato' Ramesh Kodamal, co-chairman of the ASEAN India Business Council, is on the Breakfast Grill today. Dato' Ramesh, before we broke up for break, we were talking about how you sell ASEAN as a trade bloc to countries like India. Are there certain countries within ASEAN that are good for certain specific industries?
Definitely. Let's come back to Malaysia first. Being a Malaysian, I would like to say that we have got a lot of opportunity to sell Malaysia as a bloc to India because of our uniqueness in various areas of export. A lot of Indians, first of all, like to visit Malaysia where tourism is concerned. And vice versa, India is also moving up to be a tourist market for Malaysians visiting India. This is an opportunity first to understand the two countries. When you have movement of people within two countries, the relationship becomes better.
Okay. We do see a lot of very interesting businesses that are set up in Malaysia, for instance, biotechnology, chemical, healthcare, education, and so on. What are the comparative advantages of the other ASEAN countries?
Yeah, other countries. But before we move on to that, I would like to just point out something here. The halal market is a very big market in India. And if we have our food produce, which has been manufactured here or produced here for the export market in India, we have got a population of 280 million mm-hmm. Muslims in India, which can consume halal food. This is one great potential area where we can see. There are a lot of other areas where oil and gas is concerned, medical tourism and things like that. But I think the new innovative idea is to promote halal food, and the food market is very huge where India is concerned.
I'm just wondering what kind of role do governments play in terms of actually spearheading this kind of businesses? Because we see that, for instance, in Malaysia, some of the construction projects are awarded to Indian companies. So to what extent are there G2G kind of agreements or quid pro quo agreements? For instance, if you give me this contract, I will give you back that contract in my country. What kind of role do government political connections play?
I think where the G2G agreements are concerned, that is one part. It's a different area. But what we are more concerned as the ASEAN India Business Council is that we would like to see the SMIs and SMEs moving forward, where they can play a greater role to do businesses within ASEAN or Malaysia and India.
How is this possible given that most of the projects that are dished out are really huge projects that are beyond the resources of these smaller companies? How do you actually spur these smaller companies to take a greater role in ASEAN-Indian trade?
You see, the Malaysian government is very helpful to the SMIs and SMEs to promote them overseas. MaTrade takes initiative to have roadshows for these companies moving on to various countries. And India is one of a destination nation where they feel that trade can pick up between ASEAN or Malaysian companies and India. Even the Prime Minister has made a number of trips. The Deputy Prime Minister has recently been to India to speak on trade issues. And our Trade Minister, Dato' Sri Mustafa Mohamad, has recently been to India after the election to see its new counterpart.
And what do the figures show of how effective this kind of initiatives have been? What is the share of SMI's contribution to trade compared to the larger corporation's contribution?
You see, basically speaking, if you look at it, whatever figures you are seeing on paper, you are seeing figures of products like oil and gas, agriculture products like palm oil and things like that. But there are a lot of SMIs and SMEs who move their products and work vice versa. there are a lot of items which come from India, such as garments, some handicraft items. These are for the smaller SMIs and SMEs. And also Malaysians are looking at exporting furniture that are smaller items. And I think as they move on, the trade is bound to increase for the SMIs and SMEs because they find there is a potential. What we have to do here is we have to look at how the SMIs and SMEs can have working partners within ASEAN and India or Malaysia and India. The working partners are very important for the SMIs and SMEs to move forward.
We were having a conversation earlier and we were chatting about the Indian-ASEAN Free Trade Agreement. And tell us why you're excited about this.
Oh, definitely. If you see when we signed the FTA in 2009, the trade figures have jumped to different levels. We feel the services sector and the investment sector, which the agreement will be signed in Naypyidaw on the 27th of March, will actually open up the markets further. And the figures which we are expecting by 2015, we hope that there will be a trade of 100 billion between these two countries.
US dollars.
Yes, okay. In US dollars. So
right now is about 70 to 80 billion US
correct.
Dollars. And that's a rise of about 20 billion US dollars. That's not a lot, is it?
No. For it's moving towards that level. Mm-hmm. It could move beyond to a greater level. Yeah. But at least the expectation is there. It's not, you should not expect something which you cannot achieve. But this is possible achievement, and we can achieve much more than this in time to come.
And the trade is sort of heavily tipped in ASEAN's favor, which means that ASEAN is exporting a lot more to India than India is the other way around. What are some of the things that India is asking for and looking to sort of benefit themselves on their side?
You see, India basically has got its own domestic market of 1.25 billion. The domestic consumption in India is also very huge. And basically, for India to export, they must improve their manufacturing sector for it to really export out of India. Because whatever it's been manufactured in India, the local consumption is there. I think they're working towards that. They're going to increase their exports. With the open market policy, you can have new imports coming into India, actually capital goods, for the export to move to different levels in time to come. There is great potential for India to be an export market for ASEAN and also ASEAN to export to India in time to come. I think what we are trying to look at is ASEAN has created various free trade zones. In Batam, Singapore, Batam and Indonesia has got a free trade zone. We have got a Port Klang free trade zone, the various free trade zones in Thailand and Vietnam. These free trade zones actually can work with countries like India to see what can be manufactured here, not only by us, but also the joint venture partners who come to ASEAN for the ASEAN market and the Indian market.
So if we look at comparisons of labor costs, unit labor costs between India and ASEAN, and of course ASEAN, both India and ASEAN would see quite a wide range in terms of labor costs. But the general feel is that India would be cheaper than ASEAN to establish manufacturing bases. Is this a fair comment? And do you think that a lot of FDIs will flow back into India at the expense of ASEAN?
You see, like, when you're talking of labor content, Malaysia has got higher value of labor, where we are going into more sophisticated manufactured goods.
High-tech
goods. Yeah. And you see, Indonesia has got a larger labor market. Indonesia also has got labor which is competitive to India. So Indonesia also is part of ASEAN. So we cannot totally say that India is totally cheaper than ASEAN because certain pockets of ASEAN are still very competitive, depending on which industry you're looking at and moving forward to.
I think one thing that India can invest back into ASEAN is in the sector of IT, because India is the world's IT capital. But we don't really hear a lot about this. And as far as Malaysia is concerned, one of Permando's EPP, the EPP3, aims to establish Malaysia as a data center hub of the world. Why haven't we heard more about Indian IT companies setting up here, either in Malaysia or ASEAN?
No, I think I beg to differ on that. You have got Satyam here, you have got Infosys here.
Yes, but a lot of them are establishing sales centers here, right? Not necessarily bases for IT talent and to congregate IT talent over here in either Malaysia or ASEAN.
But I think that will definitely be done eventually. Once the service sector is opened up, you will see a lot of Indian companies coming here with their own human resources to set up these companies and venturing with the ASEAN counterparts in time to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you provide us with any figures of how much India has invested into ASEAN?
Yeah. Basically, I can give you some figures of India's investment in Malaysia. They have invested something like about $1.3 billion so far, and Malaysia has invested about something like $6.3 billion in India. That's the figures
of still
Malaysia.
Relatively extremely small. We'll look forward to seeing that rise.
Sharply. In time to come, it'll definitely rise.
Okay, you know? So you must also be familiar with the kind of developments that's going on in ASEAN since you're co-chairman of the ASEAN Indian Business Council. We have a target in 2015 for what is called the ASEAN Common Market, the AEC. What does this, in your opinion, is trying to achieve? What is it? What are they trying to achieve here? Are they trying to copy the kind of things that what's happening in the Eurozone?
No, I think basically, as you know, that ASEAN was formed in 1967. We have come a long way. We had a target 10 years ago to see that the AEC has been formed. And Malaysia will be taking the chair next year.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting year for ASEAN, in fact.
But what does this AEC want to achieve?
We want to create ASEAN into a common market. Objectively,
so free movement of labor and capital.
Free movement of labor, capital, it's what we are saying. But more important is, we have got the four pillars of integration, which we call the social pillar, the cultural pillar, and the economical pillar on ASEAN. We want to see that whether we can get this totally integrated within ASEAN.
If we compare to Europe has a single common currency, but ASEAN does not aim to have that. But that will also mean that the developments, they have rules in the Eurozone whereby each country is supposed to have certain budget deficit, certain interest rates and inflation rate. There are no such rules in ASEAN. Some countries would be developing a lot more at the expense of other countries, wouldn't it?
But I think when you're talking of the currency, I think it varies in various ASEAN countries, and it is very difficult at this point of time. We are still growing. We need time to come to that level to think what Europe has done or what Europe is doing. We have got a long way to go. Might be another 10, 15, 20 years, we do not know, before we talk on the currencies and a common currency. I don't think at this point of time it is possible to have a common currency in ASEAN.
Thank you so much for your time. That was Dato' Ramesh Kodamal, co-chairman of the ASEAN India Business Council. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.